This episode of the Selling Out Show is brought to you by our partners at Wonky Weeds. All set to relax, sit back, and just let your mind wander freely after a hectic day? Check out Wonky Weeds' delicious Delta 8 edibles. Wonky Weeds Delta 8 comes from U.S. grown hemp, free from chemicals and pesticides. Use code SELLINGOUT20 for 20% off your entire order. You can find their amazing line of products at wonkyweeds.com.
What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, the only program dedicated to the life and career of the legendary Shadow Stevens. Oh, I'm kidding. You know what we do here? We screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. And I am one of your hosts, David Schlitterbahn. And over here is my good pal, my good friend, Nate Gorzinski. And before I say hello to Nate, I want to let you know we have an action-packed, fun-filled show for you today. But now I got that out of the way. Little hype man stuff. Nate, hello.
Howdy. How are things over there?
Oh, it's okay. I thought you were just going to say howdy and that was it. Just real quick, you know, straight to the point. Not, I didn't even care what's up with you, Dave.
Well, that's just because I'm a selfish prick usually.
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm changing. I'm trying to change my ways, Dave.
Yeah, therapy's paying off.
Yeah, man. I want to give a little heads up that I apologize if my voice sounds a little husky today, if I sound a little Demi Moore-ish. Uh-huh. Getting over a cold, but it seems to be holding out, so hopefully we'll be all right.
Do they still use husky as a term for size of jeans?
I don't know. That seems a little politically incorrect at
nowadays. But when I was a kid, I wore some huskies.
Yeah, I wore chubby size.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a little extra junk in my trunk, and mommy went to the jeans store and went, my kid needs some huskies. And, you know, we didn't have skinny jeans back then. We just had regular jeans. And, of course, the ones for the fat kids, like moi. But, you know, you did ask how I was doing, and I would like to lead off the show with some information.
Sure.
This is big stuff. News drop. For all of our fantastic listeners out there, because I know they're vested in my well-being, how I feel, what I'm doing, what's going on with me, what am I thinking, you know?
What's cooking? We all want to know,
yeah. Dave. Well, I'm a young person. I like to think I'm young, robust, vibrant. Can you think of some more adjectives to describe me, Nate?
Vital.
Vital.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you could think of at least one. Yet again, thank you for contributing.
I do what I can.
I am getting old before my time. I have had some pain, some serious pain that I had to go get checked out. Nope, not in any sensitive areas, because I know that's immediately what people are thinking of. Oh, you got some burning, don't you, down there? All those times of messing around, playing the wrong fiddle in the wrong pub are paying off, right? No. It was my leg. Just my leg. And so I went to go see an orthopedic doctor, which is a fun word to say, orthopedic. So that's why I said it twice. Yeah. And he took a look at me and said, hey there, guy. As Nate would say, you vital human being, you have a bad hip. Yeah. You need a hip replacement. We want to schedule you for hip replacement surgery.
Damn, you mean you're not hip enough already?
I am hip to be square. And unfortunately, that's the shape right now, it looks like, of my actual socket joint in my left hip. It's a piece of Swiss cheese.
Oh, man.
It's holier than a nun on Sunday, Nate.
Wow. So, I mean, this is going to require surgery, though? Yeah. You're going to actually, wow.
Man. Bionic. I'm going to be a bionic guy. It's going to be a brand new me. It's going to be a cyborgian.
We can rebuild him better, stronger, faster.
Well, actually, I don't know if I'm going to be any faster. I was never that quick to begin with, hence the husky genes. But, you know, it's something. And, you know, when news like that gets dropped on you, I mean, it's not the most positive vibes in the world. You're not feeling great about it. I mean,
I imagine, yeah.
I'm in my 40s, guy. You know, that kind of stuff is always reserved for the older folk. You think hip replacements. I mean, you know, you got to be, what, in your 70s or something? Your 60s, maybe? I don't know.
That's where your mind tends to go. Yeah, man. I think of people getting hip surgery that are old and have fallen and broken a hip. You didn't fall and break your hip, though, did you?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
No, I didn't fall. The doctor did say there were various reasons behind this. It's something called an avian degenerative what have you, which is
avian's like a bird.
Yeah, I have a bird in there. A wee little bird. A wee little, he's sending out tweets.
Picking away your ball and socket joint and making it look like Swiss cheese.
I was going to say, he's like, this hip sex. Hashtag hip life. Yeah, so, he doesn't know. He's like, it could have been this or that or every other damn thing. But sure. The point is, now we got to replace it. So, you know, now I'm thinking, I'm a young guy. I've mentioned this 8,000 times. But since I am at this stage in my life where I'm getting a hip replacement surgery, maybe this is just the beginning for me of being ahead of the curve, really, when it comes to some of life's finer products and engaging in certain things that are normally reserved for the older set of human beings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what kind of things you thinking, Dave?
Well, I'm thinking, first off, maybe a reverse mortgage might be in my future.
This isn't my first rodeo. And let me tell you something.
Okay.
I wouldn't be here if I thought reverse mortgages took advantage of any American senior.
You know, Tom Selleck, trustworthy guy, Magnum PI, he might sell me. I don't know. I might need a cell phone with bigger buttons. I don't know. I heard this product right here is pretty cool, and people are really fancying it.
Staying connected is easier than ever with GrandPad.
Yours looks better than mine ever did.
Ever did. And maybe I'll call you on my GrandPad. The sky's the limit, Nate. I mean, really. You know?
Yeah, man. Call up Joe Namath, see if he can help you get a gig, man. You could endorse these products, man.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to be eating my dinner now at 4:30 in the afternoon. I don't know if I'm going to have time for endorsements. You know,
life gets pretty busy.
I got to be in bed after dinner at 4:30. So maybe some shuffleboard. I heard that's also a possibility after the surgery.
Bingo. Bingo's good.
Bingo. Well, I guess. I don't know.
Doesn't really stretch out your hip unless you play strip bingo with all the old ladies. Then.
Oh, yeah.
And anything can happen.
That's only if you win.
Right.
They invite you back. The blue hair Bettys. Well, the blue hair Bettys want to get a little Randy. And I, look at you. You just want to. What do you win in bingo anyway? In like old folks bingo? I know in Mexico, like they had the Loteria and they'll play for like anything. It's like, oh, hey, some rolls of toilet paper, some cleaning products. Hey, all right.
Wow, man. I think that says more about their economy than their choice of games.
Well, maybe. It could. I don't know. But
I don't know. I used to play bingo when I had my young surgery, or it wasn't surgery, but I had a spinal infection a couple of years ago. I was stuck in a hospital for a few weeks, and I was in like an old folks home because it was me and a bunch of old people. I was there with all old people. There's one other young guy, but my point is, there's not a lot to do there. So we played bingo. We'd go downstairs to the bingo hall once I could actually walk again because my back was messed up. And we'd play bingo. I honestly don't remember what the prizes were. It could have been some kind of toys, like
bragging
stuffed
rights,
animals.
Maybe? Like, hey, I won. Next game.
Probably pretty much, and they hope that everyone's forgotten about that they were supposed to win a prize by the time the next game starts.
Right? Yeah, it makes some big promises. You're going to win a brand new car. Yeah, no. Next game. Sorry. Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I'm supposed to be up and walking that day with a walker, so I need to invest in some tennis balls.
That's amazing, though. That is amazing.
Isn't it? And they want me walking and moving and rocking and rolling right away, so I'm sure we will be podcasting at that time, so I'll give everybody the updates as I go through the recovery process, the rehabilitation, and let everybody know how I'm feeling.
We want to know, Dave. We don't want to lose you so soon, man.
What the fuck, man? For real?
Sounds like you're trying to sound all optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm the goth kid. I wear a lot of black.
You're like, yeah, so anyway, if you die, I'm going to carry on the show with another friend of mine.
Well, dude, it's like when you first were telling me, I'm like sending you a message about, oh, when I was in the hospital for my thing, I had a roommate who was in there with a replacement bone and he had had multiple infections and this and that. And yeah, you're like, you know, stop giving me so much encouragement, man.
Yeah, I know. My brother, too. He's like, are you scared? Are you frightened? Now, mind you, I've had surgeries in the past, a couple back surgeries, a hernia surgery. These are all old people surgeries. Holy shit. But anyway, you know, you always get freaked out before you go in, but then they drug you up. You fall asleep. You wake up. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm still alive. And I'm hoping for the same scenario this time.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You're sure you're the one who brought it up.
We live in a miraculous, futuristic world. And, you know, you get an opportunity to probably get some decent drugs in the meantime. So
they're definitely going to pill me up, get rid of that pain, provided I survive.
Right, and it's okay because they're pharmaceuticals. It's different than if you were to just buy some dope on the street. So
that's
the world we live in. Although I don't know, man. I think doctors are trying to give less meds now because they're worried about lawsuits and all the opioid crisis and all this. Not to pour more rain on your parade here, where I'm just telling you, oh, you got to look forward to some pills. And I'm like, actually, the doctors may not want to be giving out some meds.
Look at that giant scar you personally got there. Here's some Smarties.
Yeah, basically.
You know, here's a
old trams.
Whatever.
Non-narcotics.
You know. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to get this fucking thing over with. I want to survive. I want to live, Nate.
Of course, man.
My karate career might be over, but...
Yeah.
Kung Fu might be out of the picture.
That might be part of the physical therapy.
Kung Fu?
They might have you doing Kung Fu with all the blue hairs.
Yeah, yeah. Is that still sexual innuendo, or are you being legit? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Take it how you want. Take it how you will.
Okay, well... Anyway, well wishes are welcomed, so you can feel free to contact the show, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. And I know that's probably your preferred method of doing something, because you're old like me.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I want to use those emails. Those socials, for those whippersnappers, those kids in their hula hoops, Nintendo games. But if you did want to reach us. MySpace, yeah. Look at you, MySpace guy. I might actually substitute you for my surgery. Look at that. We're going to do a little switcheroosky. We look nothing alike, but I'm going to have you in there instead of me. Imagine that. Like, you know how like they'd have like twins switch on like a test day or something? It's like the plot of a cheesy TV show. Imagine that's the worst prank ever. It's like, oh yeah, we body swap for a surgery. I suppose that actually would work if you had no insurance. You might want to do something like that. And you actually legitimately needed the surgery. Otherwise, that would be a terrible, terrible prank. Back to sharing our contact information, because we do not have the MySpace as much as Nate wishes that we, in fact, did. But you can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, @SellingOutShow, and on Facebook, @SellingOutShow1. Okay,
that's right.
Some good stuff. I did mention at the start of this program we had some fun action-packed stuff to talk about. I don't know if it necessarily falls into that category, but Nate, you recently sent me a text of a video, and it was in reference to an old 80s PSA, and you're like, maybe this is something we can talk about. This we could chew the fat on this thing a little bit.
We reach for the stars here on this show. We whatever we can talk about that'll blow your minds and expand the consciousness of our listening public?
Well, I will have you know, initially, this is how the sausage is made, folks. I was like, I don't know. You know, I didn't write back and say that to you, but I was thinking to myself as I was leaning back in my lazy boy, twirling my beard with my, you know, many leather-bound books behind me. I was like, I don't know if this is good subject matter. But then it kind of opened up a Pandora's box, you know, and I started looking around the internet at this and that and everything else. And now here we are, ready to hit you guys with a segment about PSAs.
I learned it by watching you. I learned it by watching you.
I learned it by watching you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Nate, I learned everything I know in life by watching you, including how to smoke drugs, which was, if no one's aware, that was the PSA where the father walks in with the dope and says, hey, where the hell did you get this weed?
I learned it from watching you.
So that's a piece of history right there, part of nostalgic fabric.
Teaching parents everywhere to hide their drug use better.
Right? Yeah. Maybe I should quit drugs so my kid doesn't end up doing them like me. No. Just stop hiding them underneath the bed where he can access them, he or she. You know? But yeah, I mean, what I was trying to allude to earlier with the whole Pandora's box is not only was there PSAs targeted to just drug use and things like that, there was actually, and this is interesting, a campaign, a large, very expensive campaign to reform the image of a church known as the LDS, aka the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Now, I'm not really familiar with them or their practices. Nate, I don't know if you've got any workings with the old LDS going on or if you know much about them.
I know plenty, but it's more just from my weird, morbid curiosity. I study a lot about religions because I find that stuff fascinating, but my interest in these PSAs more just comes from the nostalgia factor, like you're talking about. These were things that I remember watching TV after school, Saturday morning cartoons, and in between them, in between the commercials for He-Man toys and Transformers, they'd play these weird, yeah, like mostly like guilt-inducing fucking PSAs that would kind of just teach kids, look, you know, try to live better. And it sounds like a good thing, but it was always, I do remember the brought to you by the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Yes. They would always say that at the end. So I do remember that. I do know a little bit about Mormonism, but we can talk about that as this goes.
Sure. The Mormons was kind of like, by Manon.
The
Mormons. That was the hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do have some other, just full disclosure here, I'm going to play some full PSAs. I really want to bring everybody down Retro Road.
I love it.
If you are like around the same age group as me and Nate are, then you're definitely going to be like, whoa, holy crap, that brings me back. And if you're not, let's say you're on either side of the spectrum, older or younger, hey, you know what I mean? You might get a good laugh or kick out of these because they are something else. The LDS ones in particular, I mentioned, are quite elaborate and expensive, and you will see why. But Nate, you actually made some requests for me.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I want to play one right now because this one has its finger on the pulse of pop culture by tapping into one of the hottest properties of all time called Star Wars.
R2, where are you? R2? R2? R2, you're on fire! R2-D2, you found a cigarette! Well, I don't think smoking is grown up at all. Because it's very dangerous. Smoking does dreadful things to your lungs and is very bad for your heart. Well, I know I don't have one, but humans do, and I think we should set a good example. Well done, R2. Oh, hello. You know smoking is bad for your health, and it isn't grown up at all. So please, don't smoke. R2, do you really think I don't have a heart?
Now that's some deep, poetic stuff going on there.
And it really strikes that chord in me, that nostalgic thing, because honest to God, dude, that just the timbre or whatever the word is of R2's, you know, bleeps and bloops, just the rhythm of those is still stuck in my head from like before we re-looked up that little clip. I still could have quoted that with little whistles like and like I honest to God have remembered that like their lyrics to a song. And so I'm like, wow, that's a really clever, memorable PSA. But then I think I also smoked my whole life after that. So I don't know how effective it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was kind of a, you know, this targeted to young people. So if you're older, he doesn't give a fuck. You're already smoking, whatever.
But I wasn't. Human.
No, you weren't. I wasn't either. No. And I smoked too. So, you know, I guess we just didn't heed our robot overlords yet like we do now.
Right.
We weren't ready for that. It was just before its time in the 80s that, you know, hey. But I mean, it was also deep because he's like talking about him having a heart. Does he have a soul? When he dies, does he go to heaven? What happens to C-3PO?
Wow, know? This is some deep stuff, man.
I know. And R2-D2's like beeping and blooping. And at the beginning of that, he sounds like he's ripping a bong, not even just smoking a butt, but.
Right?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
But. So, yeah, I don't know. But that was an important one of our youth, definitely. I'm glad you were like, hey, make sure if you want to talk PSAs, look up that Star Wars one because it does. It really sticks with you over time. And I also understand that these were originally a visual medium that I'm, you know, transferring for a podcast form. So if you haven't seen them before or if you don't remember them, you should. They are easily found the World Wide Web. You can go check it out if you really
and want to just
see a robot smoking a butt.
Just to mention, that one is not a Mormon PSA. I believe that was like the American Heart and Lung Association or something like that.
No, I was going overboard. It's like, hey, LDS, Mormons. I will allow people, let people know ahead of time. Hey, this is some of that Mormon shit I was talking about before I play it.
So, okay.
You know what? Let's do that right now. This is some Mormon shit right now. And this one in particular is, one that always stuck with me. And I would mention it to other people and I'd say, hey, do you remember that? And they go, no. And I don't know why, because this one, I mean, without further ado, let me just play it right now.
Sure.
How can I go to that movie?
I know. I'll say you've got to go to Jim's to finish your science project. That's a good lie.
When you tell one lie, it leads to another. When you tell two lies to cover each other, then you tell three lies.
Oh, brother, you're in trouble up to your ears.
So you tell four lies to try to protect you.
Then you tell five lies so folks won't suspect you. Then you tell six lies, and then you collect a life full of worries and fears. Soon you lie and lie without even trying. Then each lie you tell will keep multiplying. And you'll be suspected, rejected, disliked, and you should. When you lie, you're closing the door on everything good.
I'm not going to see this really. I just thought I'd go to a movie. I'll never lie again. Honest.
Good. Are you all right?
There's no such thing as a good lie. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Even him, the Mormons. Hey, don't forget, we're the Mormons. But that always was, if you tell one lie, it leads to an... It had a hook.
Yep.
And it got me.
I remember you singing that when we were younger, almost more than I remember the commercial. Like, it took me a second to remember that commercial, but I remember you singing that because it would be still stuck in your head when we were hanging out in our teens. Yeah. But I do remember it, though, yeah.
And much like the American Lung and Heart Association Star Wars drop affected you by you smoking, despite the fact they didn't want you to smoke, we all ended up becoming liars.
That's true.
Suck it, LDS. You know? And there might be even times in my life where I kind of think, and my inner monologue goes,
that's a good lie.
Yeah, that's a good lie. Let me tell that one. Oh, yeah. Because there are, you know, are, at the end he goes, there are no such things as a good lie. Bullshit. There are some great lies out there. We lie to ourselves every day. Yeah. Come on. We're being lied to constantly.
They're very functional. They're very, you know, they're useful tools sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I guess there has to be some honesty in life, though, somewhere. But
how honest do you think you are on a daily basis?
Nowadays, I'm a lot more honest than I used to be, but I'm still shooting around, I don't know, 75-25.
Wait, what?
Truth. 75 truth.
Oh, okay. Lies. I was wondering what the ratio. You just, at first I was waiting for just the one number. You 75-25.
Well, assume that like one out of every four statements I make is a lie. So that about sums it up.
That's good. You
know?
That's,
but when that's I was a, when I was a using addict, it was probably closer to the opposite. 75 lies, 25% truth. So I'm doing a lot better.
99.9.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know it.
All right. Now I want to play another LDS drop, which is the one that you had sent me via text. And you were like, do you remember this? And initially, I just looked at the screen cap of it. And I'm like, no. And then I watched it. And I went, oh, my God. It came flooding back to me. Oh, yes. I remember this. I remember this very well. So let me play this one right now. Well, there you go. Don't be stealing necklaces. Very bad. Candy or real, bad idea. Now, Nate, you know, you had thrown this one out in from the blue to me. Yeah. Was there a reason for that? Why did this one stick with you?
Same reason the last one stuck with you. That song, man. Like, I don't know. Something about that melody haunted me forever. It's like, I can still remember the lines from that song. I can still... just the melody of it. And I still remember my necklace, where's my necklace and all of that.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just memorable. And again, yeah, like you said last time, and like I said about the smoking one, it didn't make a deep enough impact where I listened. And, but then again, I'm not a Mormon either. So maybe that, maybe the whole campaign is flawed, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it didn't stop us from thieving.
No. Nope.
Right. So we were out there.
That's right.
Just taking as we please, doing whatever we wanted. Just totally disregarding the advice from LDS. Now, this one, though, in particular, you had mentioned the music was the one that stuck with you just as I did. But see, the thing with me was if you tell one lie, it almost had like a song with a dance routine going on there. Maybe it had more of a Broadway appeal.
Kind of bouncy and energetic.
Yeah, well, this one is just plum old creepy. Now, imagine if you will, you wake up in the middle of the night, it's dark. You're going to expect a ventriloquist dummy in the corner of the room, maybe wielding a sharp weapon. Or someone there to murder you. And actually, I might think that Danny Elfman is going to be on the horn saying, hey, guess what, Tim Burton? I got the new soundtrack to your next movie, courtesy of a PSA from the 80s.
I hear it, man. And I think the reason this stuck with me, like when you get older, everything seems to click into place. And it's like a good story where at the end you're like, oh, yeah, now I see how everything fits together. Because all the songs that I liked best when I was a kid, the things that stuck with me were all these like morose, dark, creepy, gothy fucking things, man. And And now I'm like, oh yeah, you know, even though that's like a childish, weird Mormon relic, I can still appreciate the melody of it as something that I may have been inspired by unwittingly in my own music later on. Who knows?
You know?
But
I was inspired by a creepy music box that, if played in reverse, would unleash the demons from hell.
Well, David Bowie has said before that he feels like most of his work was inspired by Inchworm by Danny Kaye, which is like an old song from the Hans Christian Andersen movie, which is like a little kid's thing. Like if you watch Inchworm ever, but it's funny, when he said that, I couldn't really picture the song, and I listened to it and I'm like, you know what? I hear the sense of melody and whatever with it. So if you get a chance, I know we didn't prepare for this show, but if you ever get a chance, check out Inchworm by Danny Kaye. There's a version of it on the Muppets. Danny Kaye was on the Muppet Show back in the day, and they perform it with the Muppets, Danny Kaye and the Muppets. Mm-hmm. And it's actually you can hear where Bowie was influenced.
It'll mess you up psychologically.
That's right.
You will need therapy, like Nate has had many sessions.
That's right. And Bowie paid it forward by making us all need therapy. He needed therapy from Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
And we needed therapy from David Bowie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Danny Kaye. Fuck you, Danny Kaye. Now, I only got a couple of these left prepared for the fine audience today. This is going to be the last one of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons commercials. Or I call them commercials. They're PSAs, but really, they were commercials, because if you do a little digging on this online, you're going to find a lot of articles about these PSAs being nostalgia. Okay, I remember this. I remember that. Exactly what me and Nate are talking about today. You're going to find the same kind of content online in the written word. Oh, this song, this scene, what have you. But I did happen to find one article to which I cannot cite the author. I must apologize. Or the newspaper. I have it on my phone over here. Maybe I should look and be a real podcaster, news person, and give credit where credit is due. I don't know.
Whatever, man.
Okay. But the point being is that they got into the specifics of how these PSAs came to be. And it was a rebranding. It was an attempt to reestablish people's faith in that church, because people's perceptions of it were very, very bad. It was an article in the New Yorker. So look at that. Look at me, big guy. Yeah, the author, I don't have her name here. But this one in particular I'm about to play, the person who directed it and choreographed it was the same person who did Michael Jackson's Beat It. So they were not pinching pennies when it came time to produce these PSAs. So, and by the way, this one starred a young Alfonso Ribeiro that you might know from a show called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. If not, then he also hosted AFV, which is god-awful television. But here's his break into the industry. Who broke my window?
Who broke my window?
Telling the truth isn't gonna be easy.
Glass everywhere you look. Who broke my window?
Why is my stomach all nervous and queasy?
Some kid's ball. Who could the little culprit be? Who threw this ball? Did someone see?
He's so mad, I'm really scared.
Our kids these days, they don't care.
Mr. Robertson.
What a horrible mess.
I broke your window with my ball.
You?
And I've come to confess.
You knew I'd be angry.
Yes.
Aren't you afraid?
Yes.
You'll have to pay for this mess you've made, but I'm proud of you, child, for you have displayed honor. The stuff from which heroes are made.
I told the
from the Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I told the truth, he is a moron. Supposed to break that window and run away.
Yeah, now you're paying for that fucking window.
Yeah, right.
For your parents are.
You have honor, and your parents have a bank account to which to pay for my broken window. But I mean, geez, Louise, little orphan Annie's over here. There's all the weird, the cast of cats is going to pop up. They've really put a lot of effort into this stuff. Holy macaroni.
Yeah. If only all that money was primarily going to trying to keep kids honest and not surreptitiously trying to boost the position at the social position of some weird modern day cult.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. It's weird because kids are watching these thinking they're just learning how to be honest and not steal and all this. But before you know it, they're wearing weird magical underwear and knocking on people's doors, using a
unicorn hoof dander to moisturize their eyelids. Yeah, of course. Standard fare. Pretty normal stuff. All right. I know some people out there are like, okay, guys, enough with the PSAs. We're done. Let's move on to the next topic, to which we shall. But before I do that, there is one last thing I want to play, because this is the most interesting of all PSAs, because it was a regional spot. Now, if I bring it up online, let's say I was on the Selling Out account and said, hey, you guys remember this? No one would, unless they were raised in New England. So how trippy is that, right? It's like one of those spots where you only saw it if you lived in that specific area. This one stuck with me a lot just because it was weird and zany and just out there. The quality of this one's going to be a little iffy, so bear with me. But definitely one of my all-time favorites. And this has to do with aliens and sweets.
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm Robolod. I'm from Mars, and I eat all kinds of candy bars. But what is this? Some Earth fruit? Mmm, it is good. Mmm, it's better than good. It's yummy and not bad. Oh, wait till I tell the other Martians about this. By only eating candy bars, we don't know what we miss.
Now, let me, full disclosure here. There are times I'm in my house, I take a bite out of something, I go, yummy and not bad. And my kid will look at me and be like, what? And I'm like, you wouldn't get it, man. You don't get it. You know, I'm from Mars. We eat candy bars. What's this, Earth fruit? You know, and I'll just belt this shit out. And people think I'm insane.
Yeah, man. And our listeners would do themselves a favor by going and checking out what that actually looks like visually, because, man, like, the special effects were so ahead of their time back then. Imagine in the early 80s, probably early to mid 80s, I would say, the technical abilities of somebody making a public service announcement in the New England area. Like, obviously, they're just stellar, the quality. So check him out.
His accent really shines through at the end. He's like, candy bars. And you're like, oh, now I get it. Yeah, from Boston, guy. Wicked. Wicked awesome, dude. I like that set, that spaceship made out of cardboard. You just lift the top off this on a hinge, and you got some Earth fruit in there. Yeah, good job there, Robola. So, yeah. You know what else, Nate? I think that spot is the mic drop for this segment, really being an all-time favorite of mine, very personal, near and dear to my heart. And I think, the audience is great for letting us indulge in our nostalgic vibes and going, taking this trip down memory lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks, guys.
So hopefully that kind of did something for you as well, and you didn't just immediately turn off your whatever you're listening to us on. I mean, it could be anything. And it's been like, screw these guys and these stupid PSAs. But it was a fun thing for us to do, or at least I like to think it's fun. So there. Na-na, e-boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo. And hopefully, maybe you learned something from all these PSAs, and you won't lie or smoke or break windows or steal necklaces or eat a lot of candy bars.
Or become a Mormon.
Or become a Mormon. So, yeah. All right. I want to thank the partners of this program. Maybe you heard in the beginning that we have a very cool promo code. By entering SELLINGOUT20 at checkout, you save 20% at these dope websites. WonkyWeeds.com, NorthlandVapor.com, AlpineHemp.com, and DeathByGummyBears.com. Remember, that is coupon code SELLINGOUT20. These are all sites that produce some really awesome vape and CBD products. And the sativa. You dig the sativa? That's your place to go. Now, 20% off is no laughing matter. Don't sleep on a deal like this. And I know it's super early, but you know what? I'm the dude getting the hip replacement, so I can do stuff like this. Christmas is right around the corner. You know what's funny, Nate? Is even before I suddenly aged 20 years in, in one doctor's office. I'm still the guy who buys stuff in like October for December. You know what I mean? Because I just want it done. I want it over with. Sure. Well, here's everybody else's opportunity to do a great thing and provide an awesome chill to the members or of your family or your friends. You know what I mean? 20% off is pretty dope.
Definitely, man.
So, yeah, definitely check all those sites out. Nate, you've had a chance to sample some of their products. You got a verdict on those yourself or what's going on? Because I'm always the hype, man. Can you do a little hyping?
Yes. I will say that when I was first sent these gummies, I'm a pretty experienced THC, cannabis products aficionado.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, I had never done Delta 8 products before. And so I was just like, ah, what the heck? They sent me some 100 milligram ones and some 30 milligram ones. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take a 100 milligram one because I'm a grown up.
Yeah.
And dude, that thing knocked me on my ass in a good way. It was so strong. It was more than I expected. And I'm sold. This is officially a product that I endorse now when I used to think that I was just a THC guy, not a CBD / Delta 8 guy. Like this changed my mind and I am still using them. I haven't currently today, but when we're done recording, I'm going to use
them. You're gonna. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Delta 8 too, because I was like, hey, CBD, vape, sativa. And there you are, you know, there you are supporting me as always with some information. But yet again, those sites are wonkyweeds.com, northlandvapor.com, alpinehemp.com, and deathbygummybears.com. Did I need to say .com for all of them? Probably not, but I did anyway. And then last but not least, we have Spunk Lube, spunklube.com. Make sure you check them out. There I am with my .com stuff again. You can now have Spunk delivered discreetly to your door. Try Spunk today and you can thank me later. Now, guys, let's move on to a part of the show that is always the nightcap, the one that you invite your date up to your room for, something that we like to call Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
During last episode's Nate's Notes segment, I talked about the reforming of certain bands without their original members. While most of the segment dealt with Pantera reforming, minus their founding guitarist and drummer, I also brought up Static X, whose titular founder / singer Wayne Static died years ago, yet somehow are touring and releasing new music. Of course, their example is maybe the pinnacle of bad taste, with the new singer actually wearing a special effects mask that looks like the dead skin mask of their deceased former singer. But we already discussed all this last episode, so go back and check it out if you feel so inclined. All this stuff got me thinking, though. There are countless bands who have lost founding members along the way. Hell, it's rare for bands to keep the same roster throughout a long career. There are a number of them. Clutch and Rammstein come to mind just off the top of my head. I think the member changes that get the most acknowledgement involve the loss of a frontman, a singer. Now, personally, I'm not a huge vocals guy. Don't get me wrong, I love a good vocalist, but that doesn't make or break a band for me. There are some bands that I love, and honestly, I don't care for their singers. To me, it's just another part of the band, but I understand that for most people, the singer represents the band's identity. People connect with a human voice. They connect with the lyrics, although in many cases, the lyrics are written by a member other than the singer who just acts as a delivery system for those words. I usually hear the whole package. I love the way instruments combine to create something more than the sum of their parts. Sure, I can connect with what's being conveyed vocally, but I can just as easily connect with an instrumental track, sometimes more so. To get back to my Static X point, this isn't the first time a band has tried to plow ahead with a new singer. probably the first time it's been done so tastelessly, but whatever. It's more challenging than trying to get the crowd on board with a new bassist or drummer or even guitarist. That's primarily because a good bassist, drummer, or even guitarist can completely ape the sound of their predecessor more easily. If you heard them on a recording, you may not even know the difference. Voices are more personal, harder to imitate. There's also the question of whether an imitation is what's best for a band in that position. When Steve Perry ultimately left Journey, coincidentally, because he kept putting off hip replacement surgery, their solution was to find a Steve Perry imitator. Now, I'm sure Journey concerts were still drawing decent crowds, but I personally couldn't name an original song they've done with the new guy. Judas Priest did a similar thing when they temporarily parted ways with their famous singer, Rob Halford. They found a guy who was singing in a Judas Priest cover band and plucked him out of obscurity to play with them for a few years. He actually recorded a couple of albums with his childhood heroes and was even nominated for a Grammy in 1999 with them, before Halford came back into the fold. The movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg is loosely based on his story. Ripper now fronts a band with Priest's guitarist KK Downing, who has since left the iconic British group. Stone Temple Pilots was a band I grew up with. Their first several albums were a huge part of my life, but singer Scott Weiland ended up becoming a rock and roll cliche. His drug problems and personal issues split up the band more than once. On two of these occasions, the other guys formed totally new bands in his absence with new singers. First came the band Talk Show. Then it was Army of Anyone with Richard Patrick from Filter on the mic. Weiland put out a few solo albums and also worked with another group who had lost their singer, namely Guns N' Roses, who were now going by the name Velvet Revolver with Weiland. But this segment isn't about new bands starting up when bands get new vocalists. I'm not talking about the guys from Rage Against the Machine forming Audioslave with Chris Cornell here. The thing about STP is that eventually they started performing as Stone Temple Pilots with other guys fronting the band. First was Linkin Park's Chester Bennington. And eventually they got some dude that appeared on the TV show, The X Factor. His name is Jeff Gutt, and he remains in the band to this day. Unfortunately, both Weiland and Chester Bennington are now dead. So I hope you all like The X Factor guy. There are some success stories that arise from a new vocalist. Cannibal Corpse is a band that helped pioneer the sound of a whole style of music, namely death metal, as early as 1988. Their first four albums featured Chris Barnes growling and grunting in a style that really helped shape the whole genre. But after four albums, they parted ways with Barnes in a move that worried fans and their record label alike. But to everyone's surprise, not only have Cannibal Corpse kept playing and recording, they've only progressed and made more fans with their new singer, George Corpse Grinder Fisher, ever since. They've just gotten better and better. Of course, there are diehard Barnes fans who still try to claim him as superior. But honestly, take a listen to all the subsequent releases from Barnes's post-Cannibal band, 6 Feet Under, and it's clear that the right choice was made. Fisher has only improved Cannibal Corpse's sound. They've gone through a bunch of guitarists too, but that's another story. Finally, we have perhaps the biggest success story of a replacement singer in Brian Johnson. When AC/DC's vocalist Bon Scott died in 1980, the band considered calling it quits before deciding that Scott would have wanted them to go on. When it came time to find a new guy, Johnson was an easy choice. Bon Scott himself had seen Johnson singing in his band Geordie at some point, and raved about him to his bandmates. He compared his passion and energy to a hard rock Little Richard. So when Bon Scott was found dead in a car, arguably from either alcohol or heroin abuse, and AC/DC wanted to move forward, it didn't take long to decide. Brian Johnson had Bon Scott's seal of approval, and Johnson has done him justice. AC/DC became more famous than ever with their replacement singer. I mean, I'm not a big fan of AC/DC, but I can't argue that they didn't become even bigger legends ever since. So it's possible to continue on as a band when your singer leaves or dies, but it's hard and it's rare. Everyone associates the band with the frontman or front person, I guess, don't cancel me. Their voice is the human element you hear. They are often the one talking to the crowd at the shows. They are the band's face. If you lose them after having success together, you better find a charismatic replacement. I personally wouldn't look at American Idol contestants or whatever, but that's just me.
I would look anywhere and everywhere you could. I mean, you just mentioned Journey. They found that guy who sounded exactly like Steve Perry, and he was, what country was he from? It was,
I forget if it was like Portuguese or Filipino.
Was it Thailand or something? Yeah,
yeah, no, I think it was the Philippines, now that you mention it. Yeah.
But it was somewhere, and I was like, wow, geez, and he sounded exactly like him. Oh, my God.
Sure, and that's, you know, for some people, that's all they're looking for is someone to recreate what they had with the other singer. And I understand that, because when the first singer's gone, that, you know, effectively stops them from being able to do all that stuff unless you find a replacement singer that sounds like them. But I don't know, some of us, it's like, I want to hear a band keep moving forward. Like, I still have a place in my heart for, say, something like Cannibal Corpse's first four albums, but and I know this is a different style of singing, you know, it's not like you don't need to be the best crooner to do a good death metal growl. But George Fisher, Corpse Grinder, their newer singer, I say new, he's been in the band since probably 99 or something. But they, you know, I think they sound way better with this guy. And like I said, Chris Barnes's work since he left Cannibal Corpse is garbage. And a lot of fans think so. But yeah, Stone Temple Pilots, let's face it, they're not getting Scott Weiland back unless they can do some weird voodoo magic.
Yeah, that's, wow. Yeah. But, what about Alice in Chains? Yeah. I mean, they're a new singer.
Yeah.
That's a guy a lot of people prefer. Well, yeah. I mean, there are some people who probably prefer the newer material because that's all they know. It's been a while now.
Right.
They might not be as familiar with Layne Staley's stuff as they are the new guy, whose name I can't recall off the top of my head, because that's what I do, apparently. That is what I do. Same thing when I was earlier citing a New York Times article and couldn't tell you who wrote it. I'm really sucky. Sorry.
I will say, like, Alice in Chains is one that I meant to bring up, but through the course of writing this, I kind of just forgot or whatever. The guy's name is William Duvall, by the way, the new singer. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And yeah, they've actually put out a few albums. I want to say they've got three albums since Layne Staley died of original material. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's still good Alice in Chains stuff. I mean, they also lost their bassist along the way. They fired him after the Dirt album. And then he actually died years after that. So, but again, their bassist, how many people noticed when their bassist left, you know?
Nobody.
You know, and that's coming from a bass player myself, like saying that, you know, it's easier to go unnoticed if you're replacing a bass player or a drummer, the rhythm section in general. Even a guitarist kind of has a unique style, like the whole Dimebag Darrell from Pantera that we were talking about last episode, who... they're having Zakk Wylde replace him on the new reunion tour. And I'm sure Zakk Wylde can probably play a pretty convincing Dimebag Darrell guitar lick. You know, he probably can do it pretty well. He's a good guitarist. But I don't know. It's not going to be that easy for a singer. No two persons' vocal cords are exactly alike. Whereas you could have a guitarist with the same brand guitar who got lessons from a similar, you know, a teacher who has a similar style of playing, and you may not even notice it. So
now you're like trying to establish an essence or soul behind the playing of the guitar. Because me, I wasn't even thinking that deep. I'm like, can you play the part? You can play the part. Biggity bam, biggity boom. Yeah. You're like, geez, they got to eat the same breakfast and put on the same style of underwear, the same brand and everything else. And I wouldn't think that deep when it comes to the actual guitar playing.
Sure. And I bet most people would agree with you. But coming from like somebody that like obsesses on this shit, that I may and I may not. I'm just saying that I could possibly listen to a recording of the new Pantera reunion show and have no idea if it was recorded now or before those guys died from Pantera. You know, I honestly couldn't tell you, but I don't know. As a musician, I'd like to think that maybe I'd notice the difference. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of go back on the Alice in Chains thing real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Real quick. Like, well, you know, Jerry Cantrell was harmonizing with Lane Staley on the original stuff. And towards the end of Lane Staley's career with them, he was doing Cantrell, that is, doing a lot of the vocal material. So,
sure,
you know, the style is going to be somewhat similar there, even with Duvall.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jerry Cantrell, being the guitarist, he would do often background vocals, harmonizing vocals. And by the end, like you said, of Lane Staley's career and life, he was taking over more and more of the vocal duties, actually doing lead vocals in a lot of songs. And a lot of that was due to the fact that Lane Staley wasn't reliable in the studio. Like, he either wouldn't show up, or he'd be all fucked up when he showed up, or sometimes his voice was just off. And so starting with the song Wood, that a lot of people, it might have been their first exposure to Alice in Chains. Some people. That song was one of the first ones where Jerry Cantrell did all those verses are Jerry Cantrell singing. It's only the chorus that Lane Staley really sings on those on Wood. But anyway, I could go off on Alice in Chains forever, which surprises me that I forgot to put them in this piece.
You stink.
But we got it in anyway.
Yeah. Look at that. You know what's great is that you're always picking up my slack. Always, man. I can rely on you grammatically. If I screw something up, if I forget to note or add something on this program, you were there. You swoop in like the eagle of freedom and niceness and help me out. This time I was like, hey, man, you forgot the AIC, brah.
Yeah, man.
So look at that. Look at the student who's now become the master. Yeah,
snatch the pebble from my hand.
Yeah. That's some kung fu. Fuck you, blue hair Bettys and bingo.
Yeah.
This is some fucking shit right here. Now, let's end this segment, which is also a very good installment of Nate's Notes. But I'm curious if you had to pick one replacement vocalist to be the all-time best choice of replacement vocalist, who would you decide upon?
Man, I'm probably going to have to say Brian Johnson, even though I hate AC/DC.
because he's part of some iconic shit, right?
Yep. Successful and, just iconic. Everyone knows those songs. The Bon Scott and Brian Johnson songs are equally known. You know, like people know them both, love them both equally, or hate them both equally, as I do.
Right. My vote would have to go to the guy who's been singing Elton John's music for the last 25 years because he's been dead.
Ooh.
And we didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
Surprise. Wow. Yeah. Whoopsie. He's been replaced. We've got to keep that. That's like some serious conspiracy X-Files stuff.
That's some Paul is dead type shit.
Paul.
The Beatles are saying Paul is dead for a long time.
Yes, I recall. Hence why you got the chuckling.
Oh, okay. All right.
From
I wasn't
this
sure.
Chubby son of a bitch.
I thought you were giggling because maybe I meant Paul Rubens is dead.
No, Paul Rubens is very much alive. He just celebrated a birthday.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
He'll always be known as for masturbating in a theater.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is weird because this happened back in the 90s and oh God, this fucking pervert. And nowadays, like no one gives a crap.
It's because nobody's going to a theater to watch porn anymore.
No. But even then it's like, I know. Jerking off, no big deal.
Who are you going to offend in that theater? You know what I mean? I'm sure half the people in there were beaten off. It's who goes to a public place to watch porn?
I know. It's not like he was doing it during Schindler's List.
Right.
That would be something.
Yeah, man. It seems like going to a theater that was showing porn and not masturbating would be like some kind of a challenge you give yourself. Like, I'm going to see if I can do this. Like,
can I make it through all 20 minutes of this plot? Can I do it? Oh, pizza delivery. I'm done.
It's all over. Pizza turns me on.
Yeah. Hey, you know, speaking of entertainment, real quick, we have to go.
Yeah.
But this is what we do. This is always the way we manage to end a show, is just, you know, free balling.
Yep.
Letting stuff just ride. Because we're cool like that. Entertainment. I don't know if you've been on the socials lately and seen some of the outrage over She-Hulk or Lord of the Rings, because She-Hulk was twerking. And some of the hobbits in Lord of the Rings are black. So people are freaking the fuck out. And this really boggles my mind. Now, you know, I understand you got to protect source material, right? But I mean, even in these instances, if you start looking at the source material, She-Hulk was breaking down the fourth wall way back when in the comics. I've seen some information provided that Tolkien even had said that the characters were dark-skinned characters. But people got to freak out. Now, beyond all this, let me go a little bit further here. What bothers me is this kind of stuff will make people lose their damn minds on social media. Yet, if you watch a Marvel movie and an alien is speaking English, hey, no biggie. No harm, no foul, eh? They're speaking my language.
Yeah, man.
You know, wouldn't you think, hey, how come Thanos is just talking in English here? Everybody can understand him. Wouldn't he have, he's from Titan. He's not from Earth.
Yeah, man.
They're from our solar system, but he sounds like, he's Josh Brolin, just talking like Josh Brolin, no big deal. But fucking, She-Hulk wants to have her hams do a slow-mo race on her backside, two little fucking honey hams, and all of a sudden, oh, Jesus, she's twerking. Oh, the hobbits are black.
The world's falling apart, man.
Did you watch any of that Lord of the Rings?
I haven't watched Amazon? It yet.
It was good.
Was it? Yeah,
I liked it. First two episodes dropped.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, man, I got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Why not watch him?
I know. I haven't got any reason to not watch it. I don't know why I haven't yet. I think it's just because there's one episode and I hate getting into something. Oh, there's two. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. They're good like that. Now, you know how pissed off I get that we've reverted to the old school style of, no more binging. You got to release something weekly. I hate it. Hate it. So at least they're trying to appease me a little bit. Like, hey, here's 2 hours worth to wet your whistle.
Sure.
That's
get you sucked in.
Yeah. And I'm, impending hip surgery. I'm like, well, what should I do? Should I sit here in front of Amazon Prime and go and get my 20% senior discount on coffee down at Mickey D's? Ah, I'll watch Lord of the Rings. Have you tried The House of Dragon on HBO Max? You are a Game of Thrones guy.
That I have. That I've been enjoying.
Okay, good. Have you watched them all? Are you up to date?
I am up to date. Yeah. I watched the new one like last night, I think, or the day before. I forget.
Oh, boy. Can't even remember when you watched something when it was like 12 hours ago.
Who knows? My life is exciting.
Yeah. It's
just one thing after another.
Fucking thrill ride.
There's dragons everywhere. I just forget when I saw them.
Yeah. now, you were disappointed with the way Game of Thrones ended.
Yes.
Were you a little weary about kind of, investing time into something with the same creative team behind it?
It's not 100% the same creative team.
Do tell.
That's why. So the showrunners of the original are no longer anywhere near this one. D.B. Weiss and David Benioff or whatever, the two of them. Yeah, I don't believe they have anything to do with it. The guy that they have now, I forget his name off the top of my head, but I don't know. It's young. The series is young. I am going in carefully, like cautiously, hoping that I won't be disappointed, but I'm expecting to be disappointed. But at least this series is based on, so far from what I understand, this one book that I'm actually in the middle of reading right now. So I kind of am familiar and unfamiliar with the source material.
Okay.
But it's not based
about that.
Yeah, it's not based on the original. There's like five books so far of the Song of Ice and Fire trilogy that the original series was all based on.
Yeah.
But this one is based on, it's kind of a historical in that universe work. Like there's a book called Fire and Blood, which is about like the history of one of these great families, the Targaryens, the dragon riders of that world. It's kind of just like, because they have this whole lineage of, I'm geeking out on this.
You are, you are indeed.
But anyway, it's kind of the history of some of these characters, their ancestors of the characters from Game of Thrones. And to me, it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time reading those books and I'm hungry for more material like related to Game of Thrones and stuff because the writer won't put out any more books. It's been like 5-10 years since he's put out a book in that series. They finished the whole first series, the Game of Thrones series, well beyond where the books are currently.
I know.
The source book. I didn't get that. So, oops, Siri's talking to me.
Hey, she didn't get that. She don't understand. Neither do I.
Cool.
Well, see, I was under the assumption that this wasn't based on a book, but I never read any of the books, okay?
Mm.
I'm one of those lame brains. I don't get it. But yeah, so I'm like, oh, that's smart because the Game of Thrones was all held up because they're still waiting to write the damn thing. But then I saw after the first episode, based on the whatever novel by
Iron Blood.
Yeah. Was it Iron Blood? Okay.
Fire and Blood.
Fire and Blood. I thought you said Iron Blood, like there's a deficiency. I need some medication to get some more iron, some ferro into my blood. Yeah. But I was like, hey, that's smart if they don't base it on something and kind of just take, you know, their liberties with it. But nah, well, you know. And then with the Lord of the Rings, I was thinking, wow, you know, it's like if you had a coffee shop and right next door, someone else opened a coffee shop. That's not really great business sense, right?
Sure.
So I'm like, well, okay, Amazon wants – they spent all this fucking money, billions of dollars to produce this freaking Lord of the Rings show. You're going to start dropping your episodes the same time that the new Game of Thrones series is out. Geez, not very bright, especially considering, okay – over at Game of Thrones, you know you're going to get blood. You're going to get some TNA, some sex, some, you know, hardcore content. With Tolkien stuff, you know, you're sticking straight with old school fantasy. You're not going to get that. So you better really produce a good product. To which they say, I, David Schlitterbahn, that they kind of did. It's so far so good.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's got your seal of approval.
Yeah, my long rambling seal of approval.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will check it out then. I'll be sure to. Right. I'll be sure to rage against the black elves.
Mm.
All the crowd.
Well, that was another thing. Is for the House of Dragons, there was
was a black Targaryen.
Yes. Well, the thing was, is the daughter was offered for marriage, and she's like 11, and apparently that didn't piss people off, but the fact she was black. Pissing people off.
I know the whole story. There's a lot of that stuff because that stuff was real in medieval times. I mean, granted, Game of Thrones, it takes place in a fictional universe, but it's all based loosely on, like, it's called like the War of the Roses. It was like a real European, like, lineage of, like, a period of time that, like, happened in real life. So things are loosely based on that stuff. And people really did, like, marry siblings and take child brides and, like, things like that, which is, yeah, horrible. But they probably, I don't know, they probably didn't have a lot of black princesses and queens and things in those days.
But probably not.
But I don't care because none of it takes place. Neither of these shows take place in the real world. So who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't care. It's good stuff. I don't care. Fucking whatever. Why do people got to be so angry all the damn time, huh?
Yeah. Like I've said before, it's one of those things where white folks or whoever's the most, like, populous people feel like since they've kind of had everything, I don't want to say catered to them. That sounds too, like, white privilege-y, but, like, pretty much, like, the more you've had, that when it starts being given to other people, when you start seeing characters of other races in movies, it almost feels like a slight against white people. And then to some people, I'm saying, and then they don't realize that it's like, well, dude, all these people have been waiting for like characters that are black or waiting you know,
it doesn't change anything.
Nothing.
You know what I mean? Nothing. It changes nothing about the story. Relax. People are always mad about the wrong things.
Right. And sure, a lot of it, I'm sure, is worrying about the demographic and trying to get money and trying to, you know, commercially appeal to other demographics. But that's not all. I mean, that's every company. That's, you know, everyone's trying to make the most money and cater to the biggest demographics.
That's us. So, you think I'd be talking about hip surgeries if our audience was 15-year-olds? Hell right. No. I'd be talking about Justin Bieber's balls.
That's right, man. Wow. Even that's old people now.
Is it? Fuck.
I think so. Bieber's like fucking 70, isn't he?
Yeah, he's up there. I'll probably see him at Denny's tomorrow morning. Yeah. So, all right, let's get out of here. Let's hit the road, Jack.
Sounds good.
I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to us today. Virtual hugs for all of you. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace.
Wake up, you never look so glum. Tell me how will we know they can hear us coming. It's easy for me, I got a head start running away. Keep up for your disease, spread quick. So how did you learn to be sick? So cunning, it's easy to see, but you just keep on loving alone.
You're on fire!